So today we are looking at a different topic, flowing from that. Remember what Genesis 1, verse 1 to 3, the Spirit of the Lord over the face of the deep. And we saw that that was the gospel, the activity, the what will bring salvation and light, right? Praise God. So today we are going to look at why do we preach? Why do we preach? Why do we preach? Praise God. Okay, let us start. Hallelujah. It's flowing from understanding Genesis, though. Okay. All right. Where do we start from now? I know that's the topic. Careful. Okay, all right. Okay. And God said, let there be light, and there was light. So, let's just start from Romans 1, 16 to 17. Romans 1. A very popular scripture. I'm sure most of us can quote it, but some don't know where it is. Romans 1, 16 to 17. Are we there? Okay. For I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation to everyone that believeth, to the Jew first, and also to the Greek. For therein is the righteousness of God revealed from faith to faith, as it is written, the just shall live by faith. So, according to this scripture, I'm not ashamed for the gospel of Christ, for it is the power of God unto salvation. So, what actually has the power to give salvation? Do we understand? What gives salvation? The gospel. So, nothing else, keep this in mind, that's where I'm starting from here. Nothing else has the potency to bring salvation besides that gospel. Hallelujah. Okay. All right. 1 Corinthians 15. Of course, you know we are going to read there. Immediately we say the gospel. What is the gospel? 1 Corinthians 15. In fact, every member of this church should be able to quote this. Should I give that test? I'm in a good mood. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 1 to 4. If you cannot quote it, now go and learn it between now and next week, between now and Sunday. But you don't know when I shall come as a thief in the night. Praise God. Okay, 1 Corinthians 15:1. Moreover, brethren, I declare unto you the gospel which I preached unto you, which also you have received, and wherein you stand. That means our stand, our confidence, our perimeters is actually the gospel. That is our location. Okay, by which also you are saved, if you keep in memory what I preached unto you, unless you have believed in vain. Meaning that if you have actually believed the gospel, you will keep it in your memory. Otherwise, maybe you did not believe in the first place. Alright. Okay, for I delivered unto you first of all that which I also received, how that Christ died for our sins according to the scriptures, and that he was buried, and that he rose again the third day according to the scriptures. So we've looked at this in details, the death, burial, and resurrection. If you're not in church, try and be getting the messages. We looked at the spiritual. It was not actually the dying on the cross or the burying in the tomb, or the physical resurrection we saw that saved us. We looked at all the behind the scene actions, right? The spiritual death, spiritual resurrection, and the spiritual burial. Okay? So according to the scriptures, as it was prophesied in the scripture, that is the gospel. That means that is what saves a man. That Christ died for his sins, and that Christ was buried, and that Christ rose again and offered for his sins. Whatever is not inside this thing I just said cannot save a man. That means if I go to a person and say, you look so fine, you are so beautiful. In fact, God can change your situation around and change your complexion. If you serve the Lord that I serve, this complexion is going to change. You're going to be fair by tomorrow. I tell you, the glory of the Lord will be all over you, and you'll just enter into a place that men will fall. You like that gospel? You like that God? So are you saved? Are you saying, I receive. Are you saved? Are you sure? Your face will change. Or anybody that sees you will just fall down. Can you imagine? You'll be forming spiritual. Praise God. So that is not the gospel. The gospel is the death, burial, resurrection, and offering for sins. That is the only thing capable of saving a man. It means if you say something else other than this, I am almost certain that man is not saved. So ensure you know what you preach. All right, so This is the second thing, the second aspect that many persons talk about. If God died, if Jesus died for all our sins, then everybody is saved, right? Correct. Everybody is saved, right? Rejoice. Jesus died for the sins of the whole world. John 3:16, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. So Jesus died for the whole world, right? So is everybody saved? People don't understand the Bible. For God so loved the world that he gave his only... Who did he give his son to? Good. So does it mean the world is saved? People don't believe scriptures. Juliet said that the world is saved. Abby? You have me down. Why? Allow to be sure of an answer now. All these are proclaiming. Okay, what's the answer now? Oh, okay. Okay. All right. In case anybody believes contrary. All right. So John 3:16, we've quoted that, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him will not perish but have everlasting life. John 3, we've looked at this scripture as well. Don't worry, it's going to be a very brief sermon and I'll try and be as fast as I can. John 3 verse 33, we have looked at this scripture when we're explaining 1 John 1. Are we there? John 3 verse 33. Try and flow with me so we can be very, very fast. Are we there? John 3. People that have not there now made my Bible closed. I had opened it before. Okay, now I'm reading. John 3, 33. He that had received his testimony has set to his seal that God is true. For he whom God has sent speaketh the words of God. For God giveth not the Spirit by measure unto him. The Father loveth the Son and hath given all things into his hand. He that believeth on the Son had everlasting life, and he that believeth not the Son shall not see life, but the wrath of God abided on him. So there is no automatic salvation. The fact that the sacrifice has been paid, sins have been taken away, does not mean that everyone is saved. A man must believe it, that yes, my sin was taken away, someone died the death I should die, and then it is credited to his own account that this one is saved. It means he has set to his own seal. Praise God that God is true. Do we remember that explanation? I wish, Rejoice, do you remember that explanation? This is John 3:33. Do you remember the explanation in relation to 1 John 1? Okay. Praise God. I know some of you that are not available there, we're not around you. It looks like I'm talking, but that's just a summary of what I've said. A man must believe the gospel for it to be, in quotes, credited to his account. So don't mind all those universalists that are saying that all men are saved, whether they know it or not. They just need to be aware and get into a consciousness. Whether they get into a consciousness or not, they are all saved, irrespective of that. There's no single scripture that proves that. Okay, all right, so that's just give a brief recap. It means that what saves a man is what? What saves a man is what? And the gospel. What saves a man is what? And the gospel is what? And that gospel is what? What's the gospel? Okay. And what does a person need to do to be saved? To believe that gospel. Remember that loop. Okay. All right. Now, seeing that the requirement of believing, that is a requirement of believing to be saved, what is the role of all of us? What is the role of believers? What is our role? What's our role? Shay, what is your role? Okay. So you see, that's my message. Very short. I can close now. We all know. Praise God. The Lord be with you all. Okay. So we are to preach. Let us look at it. Hallelujah. Okay. I like this actually. You can still hear my voice now. So a man must believe the gospel to be saved. It means we have to preach the gospel. That's where I'm going to focus on today. You know, the topic is, why do we preach? Why do we preach? Why do we have to preach? Is it necessary to preach? Can't we just sit down and all men will be convicted in their hearts? Remember, there are some persons that say, they quote the scripture in Romans 1 and say, even those that have not sinned, they somehow know God inside their own hearts, and there's a conviction beside them and they can choose to believe the gospel or not. But the Bible says a person will be preached to, the person will hear the details of the gospel, and then the person will exercise his choice to believe or not to believe, and then we'll know whether the person is saved or not. Romans, are we going to read all the scripture now? Romans 10. I have supernatural eyes. Romans 10, can you see? By faith, it's okay. Okay, Romans 10, I'll read from verse 10. For with the heart. Okay, let's read from verse 9. Oh, okay. Okay, let's read from verse 9. Wait, let's just start from verse 8. But what saith the word is nigh thee, even in thy mouth and in thy heart. That is the word of faith, which we what? So we preach the word of faith, that if thou shalt confess with thy mouth the Lord Jesus, and shalt believe in thy heart that God hath raised him from the dead, thou shalt be saved. For with the heart man what? Believeth unto righteousness, and with the mouth confession is made unto salvation. For the scripture said, whosoever believeth on him shall not be ashamed. For there is no difference between the Jew and the Greek. For the same Lord over all is rich unto all that call upon him. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. What a beautiful assurance. Whosoever, it doesn't matter. There is no deep sinner. There is no category of sinner. Whosoever, so long as a person is a man, I did not say animals, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. Now look at my emphasis. Verse 14. How then shall they call on him in whom they have not believed? And how shall they believe in him of whom they have not heard? And how shall they hear? And how shall they preach except they be sent? As it is written, how beautiful are the feet of them that preach the gospel of peace and bring glad tidings of good things. Okay, why do we need to preach the gospel? We have just seen that scripture is self-explanatory. The persons cannot call upon God whom they've not heard, and they cannot hear without a preacher. It means somebody has to preach the gospel to them. Okay, preaching the gospel is how we make the gospel available, make salvation available to men. That is the medium that God has chosen. I know. It's been, even me, I don't understand it. I say, if the sacrifice has been paid, then why is there a requirement of preaching? Can't persons just, I don't know, without, because it makes almost the entire work of redemption useless without somebody preaching. Like, how can the whole redemptive plan be hanging upon you opening your mouth to tell somebody that this is what has happened? It honestly does not make sense to me, because I feel there should, this kind of thing that is such a great requirement, should have something that is independent of men for it to work. Because now, if everybody closes their mouth, they're unsaved, will not be saved. So I feel God should have done something beyond all our powers and control. But that's just me. 1 Corinthians 1, let us read. Don't worry, it's a very brief. I'm not trying to do anything detailed today. 1 Corinthians 1, we'll read from verse 16. Are we there? Okay, Paul was talking about the fact that, okay, and I baptized also the household of Stephanas, besides I know not whether I baptized any other. From verse 17, for Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. For the preaching of the gospel is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, and I will bring to nothing the understanding of the prudent. Where is the wise? Where is the scribe? Where is the disputer of this world? Had not God made foolish the wisdom of this world? For after that, in this wisdom of God, the world by wisdom knew not God. It pleased God by the foolishness of preaching to save them that believe. For the Jews require a sign, and the Greeks seek after wisdom. But we preach Christ crucified. Unto the Jews a stumbling block, and unto the Greeks foolishness. But unto them which are called, both Jews and Greek, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. Do we understand the scripture? As in, the Bible says it pleased God. Just the same way it pleased God to bruise Christ. So also it pleased God that through the foolishness of preaching, men will believe. Now, what is this preaching? Because a lot of people have defined preaching to mean, so long as I convey the message, so I'll come and say 500 things and then just hide one small, Jesus died for your sins or something inside. Do you understand? And then I'll say, I have preached. Do you understand? So what does it mean to preach? Me, I personally, I know I don't like Greek word, but that word preach is keruzo. It means you have to say, you have to proclaim, you have to herald, you have to say like I'm saying it now. As in, you have to, it's like standing, you know town criers now. Okay, I know we did not grow up in a village. You've watched African magic movies where somebody will go and be shouting in the streets. Abby, you don't watch African magic movies? You don't watch African magic movies? Okay, I know you don't. You might not be watching now, but you watched when you were growing up. So the person will go. The eagle has said, this one. So it will ensure everybody hears, Abby. And once the person has gone around the entire village, it is assumed that the whole village has been put on notice. And he has to say it very clearly. Do you understand? He's saying it clearly so that everybody can hear his message. Okay, let's look at examples of preaching where these men obviously preached and what they did. Let us look at Jonah. Let me see the people that will turn and turn before they open Jonah today. Yeah, glory to God. Jonah chapter 3. I've seen one. Jonah chapter 3. I've seen two. Open your Bible. Use your hard copy Bible. Open your Bible. Jonah 3. Pastor, you have already reached there. Somebody has still not reached that place. Is that Jonah? Okay. See another culprit. Glory to God. He's still looking for it. Okay, please help him. Jonah. You can go to the table of contents. Answer from Genesis. People don't just read Old Testament. All you are doing is in Christ realities. Oh, epistles. Okay. When you are there, let me know. I'm waiting for him. Have you opened it? You have opened it. Yo, finally she has opened Jonah. Ah, try. See our church members. Okay, somebody help him open Jonah. You have opened Jonah. Glory to God. At least we made you go to the Old Testament today. Jonah chapter 3. Okay, verse 1. I'm reading from verse 1. And the word of the Lord came unto Jonah the second time, saying, arise, go unto Nineveh, that great city, and do what? And do what? I can't hear you. And do, okay, your brother said, protect. Okay, and preach. And preach unto it the preaching that I bid you. So Jonah arose and went unto Nineveh according to the word of the Lord. Now, Nineveh was an exceeding great city of 3 days' journey. And Jonah began to enter into the city a day's journey. And he cried and did what? He cried and did what? So did you see? He said, preaching was not just to go there and then start using a sign language or, you know, this what they call that? I was in a fellowship in university days then. We had a day specially dedicated to the dancers. I've forgotten that they are a group. They come to dance. They do choreography. So they will have like 10 different dances that day. And after they finish dancing, they will not do altar call. So why are you laughing at my former university fellowship? So they will, after dancing that dance, like 10 different dances, so they will not call you. They will not call altar call. They will say the song has ministered to you. So the song has preached to you. So what did Jonah do? He said, very good. All right, he said and preached the message, and then the persons repented. Let us look at Matthew chapter 8:10. This was Jesus' own instruction. Matthew 10. Verse 6-8. Okay, but you know this message was not, this was to, before he died and rose again. So this message was, the gospel here was to only the house of Israel. That's what it meant here. Okay, and said, but go rather to the lost sheep of the house of Israel, and as you go, preach, saying, do you understand? As you go, preach, saying, do you get it? As you preach, as you go, preach, saying. It means that while we preach, we say. We communicate. And see how very clear it is. The kingdom of God, where am I now? Yes, kingdom of God is at hand. You see the very simple message. Then to them to do other extra things. What are you to say? As they say the message. So in preaching, you must not hide the gospel or the message in the multitude of other things. You must say it plain. You must say it clear. It must be obvious that that is what you are saying. Not that you would present something that is not it and start giving people promises that God did not send you. Do you understand? The gospel has its own strict term and parameters. And the reason why we must not joke with it is because it is the power of God to save. Like, that is the only ability that can save a man. God cannot automatically stay on heaven and say, I declare you saved. The man must believe this. It means it must not be changed. It must not be altered. We must not, by trying to sound well and sound nice. You know, there are some persons that even you, some, I've met the person that came to preach to me. At the end of the day, even me, I was confused. Like, I did not even understand what the person was trying to say again. You must ensure, you're not trying to sound high and lofty and miss the message. Remember 1 Corinthians 1:7, 1:17. Paul said, we preach it not according to the wisdom of men, not in eloquency of speech. It is just plain simple. Christ is the power of God unto salvation. So ensure you understand it. Ensure you are not shy. You know when you meet some persons, you don't want them to know that it is the gospel you came to preach. So you now start doing Maggi and salt. Brother, you are looking very fine today. Brother, the Lord is a good God. Brother, you know, when you come to my church, all your needs will be met. You know, you just don't want the person to feel like, if I can I just come in and we say, do you know that all men are, Christ died for our sins and give people what they want to hear. No, the message is in twofold. Today we are talking about why do we preach to unbelievers. We'll still talk about why do we preach or teach to believers. Do you understand? So today is unbelievers. Don't ensure, as you go out for outreach, ensure that you are not trying to sugarcoat it. I know many persons will, like there was a man that was advising us when we went for evangelism one day, and he was saying, this is not the way. That they don't do this kind of evangelism anymore. This is, just what you remember that man, the Christ of, He was telling us that when he was, that he give them target, and then he goes out and he buys food for people. He goes to places that he knows that they need money, just buys food, and then gives people money and bring bus and carry all of them to church. And then he's the one that always brings the highest number of persons to church. And he's saying that we can't be going around doing talking to people. These ones cannot achieve anything. Use social media. It sounds wise, actually. After all, when he did it, he got results, Abby. He felt he got results because he was bringing persons by the truckload to church. But, 1 Corinthians 1:17. Let us read it again. 1 Corinthians 1 from verse 17. For Christ sent me not to baptize, but to preach the gospel, not with wisdom of words, lest the cross of Christ should be made of none effect. You see, I wish we actually understand the magnitude of what Paul said. He said, if I use like the wisdom of words or eloquence, it can make the cross of no effect. It means that it will make the message not able to save. Do you understand? If the cross does not have any effect, it means the desired outcome is not achieved. The person you are preaching to be saved will not get saved. I know many I attended a church when I was in Port Harcourt, and then evangelism was to come out with drums, you know, have a fanfare. There will be somebody in front that will wear this, what is it called? You know, you can wear something like all people that wear bunny, wear this kind of thing. Somebody wear something very funny, and then be making funny faces and funny movements, and then you attract a lot of crowd. A lot of persons just come, and then they are distributing flyers, and they're like, oh, Jesus died for your sins. Oh, come to Christ. Oh, you know, this kind of. And then, what's happening here? Oh, which church is this? I like this, your church. Oh, hey, so is it? Of course, we are sharing the gospel. After all, it works. We must not, in trying to get results, alter what, you know, results vary. Like that man, I felt bringing persons to church meant he had results. Abi, for example, if Rejoice, I just see Rejoice coming here now with 10 persons. Gloria, she just come to church, just bringing 10 persons like this. Yeah, push follow to church. You'll fill up everywhere. Like, in her mind, she's like, see all the people I brought to church today. I have result. Abi, now imagine if all of them came because after church, you buy them shawarma. And as they open, they're even listening, shawarma, this church, they never try, so they never find decoration. You know, in her mind, she has result. But the persons that don't even believe the gospel, they don't even know what, if you say that Jesus went to hell, they say, how? Is that result? So at the end of the day, who's marking count? You know, there's a way you write the exam those days, and then you just fill up the paper and you say, I give that lecturer. After me, not me. It cannot be possible that I'll get less than 95. I know it's here, right? Don't be me again. See, have you not had that kind of confidence? And then the result comes out and you see 25. Like, I will challenge it. It's not possible. The lecturer gave me this call. It wasn't me. I know what I wrote. So I didn't know what counted. Was it what you felt you wrote on your marking scheme? When a person sets an exam or gives you a task, you do it according to the person's specification, according to what the person that instructed asked for, not according to your own. Because you can go and say, this is, if when they, I don't know many things in other people's chemistry and physics. You say, when they mix these two things, I don't like the result that comes out. See, the best way I've clinically researched in my own laboratory, that you mix this one and this, that is where you get better result. I'm going to write it there. Say when you mix it in your laboratory, it worked, Abby. Oh yeah, now. Let's see whether it will work with the lecturer. When we have that kind of fear, with all our knowledge, we just pack it first, though. We say, me, I know that this thing worked, though. But when you come to the exam, what will you write? And yet, we don't have that same fear for God. Do you understand? God has said, do this. Preach the gospel simply. And we are saying, I know a formula that works. I know a formula that works. Who we judge? I don't know who we judge. Who we determine whether we did it or not? Praise God. Okay, so Pastor Zika read these scriptures earlier while we were please hold the time. Pastor Zika quoted the scripture while we were praying earlier. Mark 16. Let's just read it together. Mark 16. I know some persons are still praying that prayer. Pray ye the Lord of the harvest that he will send more laborers into the field. And then you're in your room praying, oh Lord, send people to the field. Oh Lord, men are dying. Oh Lord, send men. Oh, we are the missionaries. We are the God's generals. Let them arise, oh Lord. Don't lie. Bukki, I know you used to pray that kind of prayer. Me, I know. I just received it now. By word from knowledge that you pray that kind of prayer. Oh Lord, send those men. Send those men. Because your own legs and your hands have vanished. Or you say, oh, I'm walking. The Lord knows that this money is not to fund the gospel. No, my money will go for me. Where I cannot go, my money goes. Hallelujah. You show me that part of scripture. I know you have that kind of mindset. Where I cannot go, my money goes. So I reach men in Samaria. I reach men in this one. And they are sending your money to Ryan Bucky Ministries. And as they have preached, you have preached. We preach the preaching together. Abi, your money have mouth. we are partaking now. We partake of say so. When they are calling me and Bucky's own this thing, they will add me. They say actually you won 1 million souls, but 50 of it belongs to this one. Is the one saying it. You know, because he gave $50,000 because you can put a price tag to a man's soul. May the Lord have mercy on all of you. So Mark 16. In case, let me remind you again. I know we know the scripture. Who has the work of preaching be committed to? Remember Romans 10 said, how will they go except they be sent? Many persons have used the scripture to say that there is a special sending that a person needs to go, to receive, to go and preach. Or you've not heard it. I'm not sent. You see, like, I've gone to preach. Are you a pastor? Like, why are you not preaching? I've not been called to preach. I've not been sent. Glory to God. You shall soon receive your call. Maybe you don't have a good phone yet. It isn't techno. When you buy iPhone, the Lord will call you. Okay, on Mark 16. Mark 16. Verse 15. And he said unto them, in case you don't know, you're talking to the disciples, go ye into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. He that believes and is baptized shall be saved. So where were they to go into? What is the geographical location of the gospel? Is there any limit? Good. I know there are some persons that use the scripture to say, oh God, India needs the gospel. Oh Lord Jesus. China must be saved. Oh, my heart groans for China. Oh Lord, give me China or I die. And your villagers are all idolaters. The Lord have mercy on your vision. Praise the Lord. Yeah, I know Brother Slama does not have that kind of he's a man sound in doctrine. But the way I'm seeing this, John, it looks like someone that wants to go out to, oh Lord, send me to Somalia. Somalia doesn't have money. Send me to, oh, you're all in Libya. I know what you're looking for. Oh, you're all in Libya. Okay. Some people will not look for Syria and all those other countries that they are fighting. No. Oh Lord, send me to the US. You know there is gay now in the US has turned away from your path. Oh Lord, send me there to go and restore them to the ancient landmark. I hear you. That's what they quote now. Going on to the world, you. Start from your backyard, first of all, is your where? Is your world? Do you understand? Hey, that's why most times persons say, why don't we focus our evangelism? We'll reach everywhere. We will. Remember what he said, starting from Judea, from Jerusalem, down to Judea, to Samaria, and then to where? So it was a wisdom, it was a plan. You start from where you are. And who has the job? All. In case you feel like some persons, I know one group of sects that believe that this place was only talking to the apostles. You are not an apostle. This was not your message. And you've not heard it. Have you not heard it? They said this place was talking to apostles. Are you an apostle? Okay. Remember the Bible says, go and make disciples of every nation. That means if the gospel gets to you, what does it make you? It makes you what? And a disciple does what? A disciple does the word. Do you understand? How do you know a disciple? Someone that does the word. So this gospel is to make you a disciple. The end of everything is that all of you are disciples of the word. It means all of you are doing the word. It means all of you have been called. If you are waiting for the call of God, please hear the word of the Lord. I have called you this day. Oh, arise. Preach the gospel. Start. Is there another way God speaks? Let me do it. If you believe God has not called you, let me see your hand. You believe God has not called you? Okay. It's all right. I will call you this night. Just drop your phone number with me. Hallelujah. All right. So we looked at 2 Corinthians 5. Don't worry, I'm almost done. It's just a simple message, actually. 2 Corinthians 5. 5, verse 18. And all things of God who had reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ and had given unto us what? So we that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Now then, we are ambassadors for Christ, as though God did beseech you by us. We pray you in Christ's stead, be ye reconciled to God. I remember when I was preaching to one Muslim one day, and he told me, that Jesus is a messenger of God. I said, okay. I said, me too, I'm a messenger of God. He said, how can you say that? How, you know what it means to be a messenger? I said, I'm a messenger of God. Should I show you? Let's show you this scripture. He's like, Like, but this scripture says, we are, God has sent, or we are ambassadors. That means, he said, I will beseech you in Christ's stead. That means, when I'm talking to, I told him, when I'm talking to you now, just assume that it's God that is standing and talking to you, because that's actually what is happening. And at the end of the day, they say, we die for his sins. Okay, so remember, it's not just any message we have been, we're ambassadors of reconciliation. We don't go and start telling people that their sins are imputed to them, or we don't give them a fake message. You know, there's a way you can, people don't know how outrageous this sound. When you want to get a man saved, and then you tell him, believe, and God will wash away your sins and make you white as snow. Abi, then the man believes, and the next 5 minutes you're telling him, now that you have believed, ensure that. So it looks like a trick. It looks like you are trying to drag him and trap him into a place. Do you understand? Because before now, I'm begging you, I'm saying, all your sins, we will just believe. And then maybe you believe, and I tell you that actually, it's not just believing alone. Now you have entered God's trap. Now you must live holy. Now you must contend. You know those kind of things. It looks somehow now. It looks like you are just trying to deceive men. As I sound. So before you preach the second coming or any other coming, ensure you preach, because the only one coming they sent us to preach, that Jesus came and left. Let us finish preaching that one before we preach another coming that even we don't know when it shall happen. Praise God. You pronounce serious, right? Character. You probably will not forgive that woman. There's a woman we met one day that held us hostage under the hot sun for over 1 hour. She said, I understand that this is the gospel, but character. No. She just kept saying character. Like, you cannot tell me that character. Okay. It is all good. Okay. All right. To say the lie, we must not hide the message in a multitude of other things. That is deception. Otherwise, we make the cross of no effect. We make the message incapable of saving. We must never, 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 never do that. Okay. So, we must trust God. I wrote it here. Just trust God. Don't use your wisdom to replace his design. Don't be deceptive. Don't promise people things on God's behalf that he did not send you. Don't use wise method to catch their attention. Don't deceive them. Just trust God and his word. It may look boring, but it is actually God's wisdom. Praise God. Are you confident about your message? Do you think it's enough to save a man? Because sometimes even Christians don't believe that message is enough. How can I go and tell somebody that Jesus died and rose again? You mean that there are no other things to add? Many persons don't believe that is enough to save. Do you understand? Do you believe it's enough to save? I ensure you teach other believers as well that this is enough to save. This is enough to save. This is the way God designed it. This is God's plan. And this has been committed to us. So we'll close with the scripture. 2 Corinthians 5. Again, 2 Corinthians 5. We read from verse 9. You know, this. Whenever I hear these universalist people, I don't just even know how they think. So, all men are saved, and Paul was suffering all this plenty suffering to take gospel to. Why do we even? No, because, don't you know how it sounds? If you say all men are saved, then why labor and pray now over souls? Why not just eat, drink, for tomorrow we die and see our maker? And then I'll be free to preach a such gospel. We'll just be free to focus on other things, you know, like how God has called me to raise billionaires. And then we'll start investigating what happens in the galaxies and the Milky Ways, you know. There are a lot of things to investigate in Christianity. We'll just free ourselves. Why we'll be laboring over souls? Anyway, 2 Corinthians 5. Apostle Paul did not know that all men are saved. We'll forgive him. 2 Corinthians 5 verse 9. Wherefore we labor. We what? Labor. Preaching is labor. I know we are still taking it as rice and beans or beans and plantain. Something you just do in your convenience. just do as the Spirit leads. You know, that's not that deception. People feel the Spirit has to lead you to preach to a particular person. And then they use Philip's example, Philip and the Ethiopian eunuch. That, see, the angel led Philip to that man. So there are persons that God will be leading you to go and preach. So you don't just go and be preaching to anybody that you see. Abby, have you not heard? Why does it look like I'm the only one receiving all this training? Have you not heard this? I hope nobody thinks that. Yeah. So you see, you'll be in a particular place and God is not moving you to talk to the next person. Okay. That's moving you are waiting for. You shall be moved. Amen. So ministry is labor. Preaching is labor. We must take it like that. Wherefore, we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. For we must all appear before the judgment seat of Christ, that everyone may receive the things done in his body, according to that he had done, whether it be good or bad. Remember what we said about the examination? God will judge. Okay. Knowing therefore the terror of the Lord, we persuade men. But we are made manifest unto God, and I trust also are made manifest in your consciences. For we commend not ourselves again unto you, but give you occasion to glory on our behalf, that you may have somewhat to answer them which glory in appearance and not in heart. For whether we be besides ourselves, Joshua, I'm looking at your Bible, whether it be besides ourselves, it is to God, or whether we be sober, it is for your cause. For the love of Christ constraineth us, because we thus judge that if one died for all, then we're all dead. And that he died for all, that they which live should not henceforth live unto themselves, but unto him which died for them and rose again. Rejoice, is your life your own? Who has it? Are you living for Christ? Is your life yours? See what this Bible says. That he died for all. So that those who live. Who are those who live? We. Are the ones who have eternal life. So that those who live will henceforth live no longer unto themselves. I know you have your dreams, so you have your ambitions. You want to... Okay, let's not look as if I'm talking to you directly. You want to be a mover and shaker. You want to change the political situation of this country. Abi, when you see persons suffering, it burns your heart. You just want to do something about it. You just want to be an entrepreneur. You want to be an employer of labor. You want to ensure that if somebody just say, I need 100,000, you just dip your hand into your pocket and give it to the person. You know, that kind of dream and ideas. You know, when we see ourselves, we want to see ourselves at the pinnacle of success. We just want to be in a place where we can associate with men like Dangote. You know, where we cannot feel inferior when we stand before Bill Gates, because what he has, we have. Do you understand that kind of thing? I know we have that kind of ambition and lofty ideas. We are free to do all those things if the life you have is your own. See them. Okay, you will be shook. Today you shall shook. If I don't see evangelism on Saturday, you are indeed shook. Pastor Ezekiel, please note it. I'm not joking. If you've not been evangelism on Saturday, you better take written permission from him now. Otherwise, let me not behold your face, because it will not be funny. So you are free to pursue those ambitions. You are very free. Please, so that when I see you, me too, I need money. As I mean, I really need money. At least you can repay your tithe. And then I will be telling you, you understand, tithe, since it's no longer 10%, we won't call it tithe. You just pay 50% of whatever you earn. Simple. And then you go with the other 50. Joshua Abi, that's your business. You have not yet been paying tithe. But you are free. I know all those are visions. All those, I want to have a PhD. I want to be very, very educated. I want to be well-read. I want to travel the world. I want to see places. Me, I want to see the Eiffel Tower. There are places I really want to see. I just want to travel. Just 1 month, not doing anything, you know, just junketing, just seeing all the sights. I want to see the Statue of Liberty. There are a lot of things I want to see. Yeah, I just want to travel the world. And you are free if the life you live is your own. But if it's not yours, if the Bible says you will give account of everything that you do in your body, if the Bible says that this life is not your own, and that you are supposed to live for the person that died and rose again for you. If the Bible says that and you believe it, then ensure God's priorities are your priorities. Nobody's saying don't pursue your dreams. Don't be the best you can achieve in your mental world. But ensure it is never, never, never at the expense of what you need to do. Because there's nothing we do in this. What is happening? Who is the person? I don't understand. Then somebody go and answer him. Otherwise, everybody sit down. Everybody just turn and looking. Please don't fall on all of you. Okay. Okay. So, as I was saying, we are free to pursue whatever we want to pursue, if we know the life is not our, life is ours, and whatever we do, we have satisfied our own selves. But if you know God will judge, if you know you will give account, if you know that whatever you do here actually does not have any eternal value, that's the annoying thing. It means if I become a senior advocate of Nigeria today and I reach the pinnacle of every success, when it gets to eternity, there's nothing I can use to show forth. Even if I use that thing to liberate people that were suffering and widows and the rest, it doesn't make sense. It doesn't make sense. So what should you focus on? What should be your priority? What should be your priority? If only on this earth we have hope, all men are most miserable. All men are most miserable. So there's something weightier. There's something more than all of this. Are you committed to that? That's the question. You can start praying. Are you committed to that? 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 You can start praying, no? I've closed the message. You have a question? Okay, ask. Okay. It's not. Excuse me. It's not. You're trying to make him understand. Okay, for example, there was a way somebody asked me a question and he was telling me, how can somebody give his son to die? That does not make sense. There's no normal person that will give his son to die. So how will I say that God gave Jesus to die for people? That will I do it? I said, okay, fine. And I asked him a question. How much do you have as you are here? 1,000 naira. If I tell you, you get a business proposition that is very sure, that if you drop this 1,000 naira now, in 3 days, you are going to get 1 billion naira. It's sure, it's guaranteed. Will you drop it? He said, of course. I suppose that's the only money you have now. That's what you don't have. He said, I will get this thing now. So I think that's the way it was. God was able to give, in quotes, his son to die because he knew that in doing that, he will get many sons unto glory. So it was not difficult, in quotes, to lay that one to get others. And with that, he understood. But I'm not. Well, the issue is, see what eloquence of speech is. When whatever you're saying does not contain a message, and you have said a lot of things, how the Lord will move you from zero to hero, how you have, those kind of many things, and then it is void of the message. The issue is, try and make it as simple as possible. Whether you go to every criteria you want to use to make somebody understand, ensure that the person understands. Then, number two, your sign language thing. Well, that's why we have the power of God. That's why we have the power of God. I'm not saying that it's not possible that, of course, because maybe the person, you can do this thing. Even Pastor Ezekiel is having issues with speaking Hausa to preach gospel. So I don't know how you're going to do. You not do what the, to show, to what, I don't know. But just know that what you should be thinking about in that situation is the power of God is at work. Remember that's one of the things we are told to do now. We are told to cast out devils. We are told to heal the sick. So in Paul even said it, that he preached the gospel with the demonstration of power. It is what we should actually desire, what we should want to see. Because believe it or not, it is one of the signs that accompanies the gospel to validate the message and to make it let it get entrance into our hearts of men. But the issue now comes when you just want to demonstrate power. You know, you've gone for healing crusades, and then you've just, the emphasis is just on the power. God can heal you, God can heal you, and then you heal all manner of sicknesses, and the persons are healed and go back unsaved. That is, it's no longer, it's supposed to be a means to an end, but now you just made it the focus. It's the power, demonstrating the power of God in those miracles is not wrong. It's actually what should actually be done. See what Philip did in Samaria. So many signs and wonders that the whole village, the whole town, city gave heed to him. So it is an accompanying sign. So in that kind of situation, what you should have been thinking about is, how do I make this man to hear? Jesus, I won't preach the gospel. Where? I believe it's not possible. But if your faith, whatever, I honestly don't know how you're going to do sign. Even me, I don't know. Some persons will say, like, they just told me about someone that is deaf and dumb, and he writes, I see his literary works on Facebook, and when Mimi was telling me that he's dumb and he's deaf and dumb, I could not, I did not believe it though. Till now, I still cannot believe it. I'm just hoping I'll see him one day to confirm my eyes. I know, as in, you know Facebook now, his posts are like that of a PhD intellectual, and she said he's deaf and dumb from birth. So I don't know how he did that one. Maybe he's that kind of person that can understand, I don't know, but what our focus should be, the power of God is at work. Power accompanies our message. Power accompanies our message. The signs follow us. Do you understand? That's it. Any other question? We have far exceeded time. Okay, so let's continue praying. Let's continue praying. Let's continue praying. Let's continue praying. Let's commit ourselves again to this vision. Commit ourselves again to this purpose. Commit ourselves again to this cause. We are simply devoted. We are simply devoted. The life that we live is not ours, but we live for him who died again. His priority is our priority. His priority is our priority. And he said, to the ends of the earth. 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 I want you to pray. Pray until the passion boils in you. Because if you are still seeing this as a callous thing, something you just do by the way, pray until passion falls on you. That's all I can say. As in, until you are clothed with passion, pray that your heart break at the sight of persons that are actually going to lose their lives for eternity. Let it be something that moves you. The same way some persons see poor persons and then they are moved to pity. There should be something more that moves you. That you see a man that is obviously rejecting the gospel and then your heart is just heavy. And all you want to do is to make him realize that Christ died for his sins. You can have that passion. 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 Just pray. I'll give you 5 minutes to pray. Just pray, 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 just pray. God's priorities are yours. God's priorities are yours. For we must all give accounts. We don't know what the reward will be. We don't know. But if God said there is a reward, then we'll take it seriously. We take it seriously. This is the only thing we have actually been committed. This is the only thing. The only thing. The only thing that God has sent us to do. To get men saved and to get them into the knowledge of his will. To get men saved and get them in the knowledge of his will. Who shall creak his will? Because the kid about shall he see? Who the box? Who's the breakfast? Who shall he see? Who's the coach? Among my people and in my country, till I reach the ends of the earth. Until I reach the ends of the earth. Now your wisdom is established in my heart. I will follow you wherever you are leading me now. And I'm starting from my home, among my people and in my country, until I reach the ends of the earth. Just pray, just pray. Until I reach the ends of the earth. Hallelujah, we'll get there. We'll get there. Get there. We'll get there. Now I know the secrets of your work. Oh. 'Cause I'm holding on to your wisdom as my master plan. So I'm starting from my home, among my people and in my country. until I reach the ends of the earth. Oh, until I reach the ends of the earth. Nations are ours, cities ours, Kobo is ours, Abuja is ours, the entire northern nation is ours. It's ours for the taking. It's ours for the taking. Because we go forth like a mighty army. We go forth and we're unstoppable. We've heard the word of the Spirit saying to go. We will 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 go. We'll take it one person at a time. We'll take it one street at a time. We'll take it one doorstep at a time. And surely we'll reach the end of the earth. Because the Bible says that this gospel will be preached to the ends of the earth as a witness to all men. And then the end shall come. It means the gospel will definitely, of a surety, be preached. Hallelujah. Be preached in every corner of the earth. To the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth. To the ends of the earth, beyond what our eyes can see, we will go. We will go. We will go. Oh, surely, surely we'll reach the ends of the earth. Surely, 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 surely. There's a generation like that is going to happen. And I wish to God it was mine. And the gospel will indeed go to the ends of the earth. Because men everywhere will take up the passion. Take up the passion, take up the passion, take up the passion, take up the passion, take up the passion. If men like Charles Finney, men will take up the passion in their numbers. It will not just be one person trying to do all. Men will take up the passion in their numbers. Men will stand, men will stand, men will stand, men will run with this vision. Men will run, they will run, they will run, they will run, they will run. They will run, they will go forth as a mighty army. It's not just going to be singular efforts. It's not just going to be one person trying so hard. But each person does his part, each person plays his role. Each person speaks to his neighbor, each person speaks to his street. Each person gets his whole street saved. Each person just goes forth, 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 forth. And so we cover more territories and gain more grounds. And gain more grounds. And surely, 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 light shines all over. Darkness cannot comprehend. Surely men are established in light and truth. Surely, 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 men are established in light and truth. Surely men are established in light, word and truth. And we boldly say yes. The gospel has taken over. 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 Men that will trend the gospel. Hallelujah. We are committed to this. The foolishness of preaching in presenting the gospel as simple as it is, a man will be raised from spiritual death unto spiritual life, never to die again. At the moment a man believes the gospel, he's spiritually alive eternally. Eternally. That's the greatest miracle. Beyond wanting to do much for the Lord, I know many persons just want to be able to just get eyes popping open and getting lame persons to walk and just walking in so much power. But know that the greatest miracle of all is that a man is raised from spiritual death unto spiritual life. And it happens just by the message of the gospel on the lips. Ensure you're a part of that. Ensure you're a part of that. Don't let physical pursuits keep you away. It can be very difficult to focus on things that are of eternity because we don't see it. But ensure you always remind yourself. If it takes you to read some certain scriptures, you can write them down. Read that 2 Corinthians 5, even if it means to read it every day, until it becomes your own consciousness and your reality. We will go. Hallelujah. We will go. Left behind. Welcome. For continue again on Sunday. We'll look at why we preach, focusing on why do we still emphasize the gospel even to believers. Thank you for coming. Pastor misses all of you, as usual. But it's also for the gospel. That is why he has to.